Well, good morning, church. It's a windy and hot day to be in the house of the Lord, but we're here. Amen. There we go. So I just want to make sure somebody can hear me. Y'all, I got some surprises for you when we get back in the sanctuary, that whole honking thing. I just need you to know. A couple announcements as we get started this morning. The first one is Brother Tommy Markham asked for prayers for his family. Rhonda, his sister-in-law, I believe, has been in the emergency room. His wife fell when she was trying to catch his sister-in-law, and so she went to the emergency room. And so Brother Tommy has asked if we can be in prayer for his family. And he also wants to say thank you for all the cards he got the other day. So thank you all for being a part of that. The second thing is I want to invite you again to our Blues and the Bible Zoom online Bible study. If you haven't gotten to be a part of that, send me an email and let me know, and I'll send you the link. But we had an excellent, excellent meeting last week. And then afterwards, I spent some time and created some podcasts out of the online Bible study. So you can go to our website and click the link, and you can listen to it at your own leisure. But that's as part of our website, you can find that, and I hope that you're a part of that. So those are the two things going on in the church right now. If you can be a part of those, that'd be great, and we'd love for you to do it. So with that being said, I want to lead us in our call to worship. It comes from Psalm 95, verses 6 through 7, and I thought this was appropriate for today's service. Hear the words of God. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Let's all go to God in prayer. Gracious and Lord, loving God, we can't kneel so much right now, and we can't bow so much right now, but we can show up right now. We're in the parking lot here. We're online on Facebook and on YouTube. There are people watching all around the country and literally all around the world. And we thank you, God, that that's the way we come and bow down before you today. So we ask for blessings then. We ask that you lift us up in our time, that you give us strength and you give us courage, that you give us hope, and that we worship you as you are called to be worshiped. We ask you that you allow us to remember that you are our Creator, that we are the sheep of your pasture, and that you care for us and love us no matter the day and the time. Lord, I am so happy that I hear so many stories about people helping each other out in this day. And I thank you, God, that we can lean on one another because we lean on you. And so we ask you then also, Lord, to bless those that are in need these days. If there are those that need to be cared for, Lord, remind us to care for them. And we also, Lord, call on names that we lift up to you. We think of those names and even say those names out loud and type those names into Facebook, into the YouTube comments, so that we can share that these are the people we are praying for. And we ask you, God, that you do something in those situations. In fact, Lord, we ask that you do something in our lives so that we can help those who are in need. Lord, we know that there are people that are hurting, like Tommy's family and like so many others, that need help in this day. And we thank you, God, that we can turn to you for that help and the strength for us to go help one another. As, Lord, this world kind of starts turning back into some sort of little bit of normalcy, we ask that all people find patience and kindness and goodness in this time. No matter if they want to stay home or get out, we ask, Lord, that we come together spiritually and emotionally, even if we don't always do it physically, so that we can lean on one another and help one another out, even if we don't agree on where we should be when we do it. Lord, we ask for cooperation in this day. And Lord, we ask all of these things because we turn to you. And God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to thank these three so much for their continued efforts in leading us in music, and Dave and Gary for all of their work that they're doing for us in preparing for this, and we'd ask that you all lead us in our first song.
This is my prayer in the desert, when all that's within me feels dry. This is my prayer in my hunger and need. My God is the God who provides. This is my prayer in the fire, in weakness or trial or pain. earth and gold. So refine me, Lord, through the flame. And I will bring praise, and I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory. I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice. I will declare. God is my victory, and He is here. Oh, this is my prayer in the harvest, when favor and providence flow. I know I'm filled to be emptied again. The seed I've received I will sow.
How beautiful. Amen, church. How absolutely beautiful. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes. Hey, I want to tell you, somebody might have seen me over here a second ago looking in the little potted plant here, and the reason is there's a nest in there. And last Sunday, Suzanne came up here after church and she started messing around, and the babies were in it. The baby birds are there, and I thought it was a beautiful thing, because what the church is and what the faith is a place to birth life, right? This is the place where folks are reborn, not necessarily in the doors, but what comes out of this place. And I thought it was absolutely beautiful that right here on the steps, as we're not here, birth is still happening and beauty is still happening. And so anyway, when you get a chance, you sometime walk up here and see. And the birds aren't in it anymore, but how beautiful is it that birth and rebirth still happens here in the church? I say that because we are continuing to help those who need help in this world. We have those in the community that are in need of help. This past week, we've gotten money in from some resources, and we're putting some in that are helping some school kids who weren't able to pay off their lunches. We're doing a lot of things like this to make sure that we're taking care of those in the community that need help. So if you know somebody, if you are somebody that needs help, please let us know. I had a friend or someone that came to me the other day with help, and he said, I'm embarrassed to ask for it. And I said, why? You didn't expect COVID-19 to show up and lose your job. It's not something you knew was going to happen. So why are you embarrassed? It's nothing you did. And so if there are those, please let us know. And as we continue giving our offerings and our tithes, we'll be applying that to those who need help in the community. So I thank you for doing that. If you are needing to tithe, remember you can do that online. You can go to our JenkinsCP.org page, and you can find there in the links how to give online. Or there are also those that are giving me their tithes, and I'm taking it inside. But I thank you for continuing to give, because we're going to continue helping people as we go through this time together. I want to read to you from Acts 17, 1 through 9. Today, this is what came up in this week's selection of scriptures. It's Acts 17, 1 through 9, and it reads this way. After Paul and Silas had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days argued with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, "This is the Messiah, Jesus, who I'm proclaiming to you." Some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did great many of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews became jealous. And with the help of some ruffians in the marketplaces, they formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. While they were still searching for Paul and Silas to bring them out to the assembly, they attacked Jason's house. When they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some believers before the city authorities, shouting, "These people who have been turning the world upside down have come here also, and Jason has entertained them as guests. They're all acting contrary to the decrees of the emperor, saying that there is another king named Jesus." The people and the city officials were disturbed when they heard this, and after they had taken bail from Jason and the others, they let them go. Let's go to God in prayer again, please. Gracious Lord, we ask for a blessing out of this scripture. One of the reasons we come into the church, Lord, and come into worship is that we want to hear the word. We want to hear something in it that brings out something new that we can go into this world with and to share with others. And so we ask you, Lord, to bless this next few minutes as we investigate these scriptures, as we interrogate them, as we figure out what's in them so that we can find goodness out of them. We ask blessings in this time, Lord, because we desperately need it. And all of God's people said amen. Who's your hero? Who's your hero? I mean, you can answer me all you want to, but all I can understand is amen in honking, so I can't understand anything else you'd say. But you can think about it in your car. Who is your hero? When I was younger, mine was Dr. J. I thought athletes who could get paid that kind of money to play basketball must be the apex of humanity. I mean, they're rock stars, and so I loved Dr. J. I never collected an autograph one from a doctor or a ditch digger or anybody else, but I got one from Dr. J when I was a kid. Mom was somewhere on business, and she saw Dr. J in a hotel restaurant, and she knew I was a big fan, so she went over, and she got the autograph, and then she came home, and she gave it to me, and she won Mom of the Year award. I was amazed. Dr. J wrote that on that piece of paper, man, and I was thrilled to death. Those are our heroes. And even if we can't jump like them, or even if we know we can only do a fraction of whatever it is that they do, we think there's something in our heroes that can drive us to be better. Maybe then your hero is somebody more than just a sports star. I hope it is as we grow up. Maybe your hero is a mentor. Maybe you have someone that you look to that has pushed you and guided you in the world, and maybe that is your hero. You're always striving to be a little bit more like them. Man, those people are huge in our lives. We need heroes. We need them because they call us to strive to do better and to be better. One of my heroes, he doesn't know it, but one of my heroes is the dean at Memphis Theological Seminary. I look at him, and it's amazing how much work he gets done. The volume of work he does is just amazing. He runs a nonprofit for the homeless. He just started another nonprofit which houses homeless women at night. He runs the academic side of the seminary, and I'm just amazed at how much he does for the Lord. Who is your hero? Who is your hero? Of course, I pray that whoever is your hero deserves that status. there are some heroes in this world that don't deserve the status that we give them. We have to be careful. We don't want to make somebody a hero that influences us and guides us if they're not influencing us and guiding us in the proper ways. So be careful of your heroes. I think even the scripture says that some will lead us astray, right? So, I want to recommend a hero if I can. If you need a hero, if you need someone as a goal, if you need someone as an ideal, as a target, as someone that you can strive to be like, I want to say that I think I found you one, several really, but one of them has a name. If you need a hero, let me suggest this. Check out Jason of Thessalonica. Not Jason of Nolensville. That's not a good choice. But Jason of Thessalonica and the fellows here in Acts that we read about, because they make fantastic candidates for a hero. You could do a whole lot worse than these folks. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about those in Thessalonica that were arrested and handcuffed. Here's some things we need to know about that story to recognize why they are such heroes. First is this. There's a reason that Jason and them got in trouble. The Thessalonica, the town that Paul and Silas showed up to, where they shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, was a Roman town through and through. They were all about some Rome. Thessalonians loved Rome. Thessalonians loved Caesar. And they loved the power and the influence that the Roman Empire had. When Caesar had a birthday, you can bet the Thessalonians showed up and had a throwdown party. They followed Rome wherever it is that Rome went. If Rome went to war, they went along. Whatever Rome did, the people did it too, because they thought it was right and it was good to do. They did it because they felt like they were supposed to do that to be good people. Good people followed Rome and they followed Caesar, and they even worshipped it all too, because Caesar told them that the gods wanted it to be this way. And so it was in this world where Rome and Caesar and power and wealth ruled the day, that Paul decided to preach about Jesus, who wasn't about any of that stuff. Paul, because he could never ever shut up, started telling people about the Messiah, about the new king of the kingdom, God's kingdom. He preached that Jesus, the Messiah, the one who came to set the record straight once and for all, was the King of heaven who was found now on earth. He preached about the Lord Jesus Christ and how every other Lord, every other king, and any other Caesar meant nothing anymore. And he told this to whoever in Thessalonica would listen, so they might be citizens of this new kingdom too. He was trying to make new citizens of a new land. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of God, he did convince some. There were some Jews and some Greeks that came along, it said. And wouldn't you know it, that caused a big old nasty stir. When people switched kings from Caesar to Jesus, it messed up things in Thessalonica, and people who mattered didn't like that at all. When they decided they weren't going to follow Rome anymore, the scripture here says it got very good people all riled up. When Paul was teaching Jesus stuff, like the first will be last and the last will be first, it caused consternation in Thessalonica. And so he was teaching them all this, and how because the Messiah had come back from the grave, it meant the Messiah's way, the new king's way, was the absolute only way to be. There is no other way, he said. You have to follow Jesus' way. So suddenly, in this little town of Thessalonica, there was a movement of Christians who lived life honoring a brand new king. And would you imagine that? Some people didn't like what Paul was doing. Shocking, isn't it? Doesn't everybody love it when somebody comes to the Lord? Isn't that supposed to be a glorious day? But no. Some folks with power and privilege didn't like hearing the kind of talk that said that there was another king with greater power and full authority. There were some who felt threatened when Paul convinced some others that the last would be first and the first would be last. There were some who lived in ways that caused them to not like it when Paul taught about enemies and how they were the ones that were to be invited to the table to eat and to pray. Taking care of widows and orphans and unclothed and hungry and sick and the stranger and prisoners, all you do good or shut up. Ain't nobody got time for that. I mean, that's what Paul was preaching, right? he was preaching Jesus stuff, right? And that's all stuff that Jesus said, and it got him killed too. Finally, Scripture says that the authorities had just had enough of this. These people were causing too big of a stink, and we got to put a stop to this. So they ended up at Jason's door. They learned that he'd put these troublemakers up as guests, which means he was a troublemaker, and troublemakers had to pay. What a life this man was in all of a sudden. It hadn't been long before that Jason was just living his life. And now there are angry people with a lot of power at his door. He'd been through so much, a chain of events the last few months, I can't imagine that all this was happening, and he wondered if it was really worth it with the authorities here at his door with an arrest warrant. He had to wonder if this was really the path that he wanted to take, and at some point Jason had to make a decision. Who do I side with? The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of Rome? The kingdom of Caesar or the kingdom of God? The empire? I mean, this is some serious Star Wars stuff here. Do I follow the dark side or the light side? He had to ask. Man, what a choice. And it makes me wonder which one I'd have chosen if I was in Jason of Thessalonica's shoes. We thank God, though, that we know how he decided. He sided with Paul and with Jesus. That's who he was going to follow no matter what. Well, thank God we know that. But now he was a criminal and he was a suspect for life with a rap sheet. But he didn't care. He didn't answer to those people anymore. Ultimately, he had a different king. And I say how brave of him, how unbelievably brave. He didn't care. He knew who he was following no matter what. So I'll ask it again. Who's your hero? Are they those that won't budge? Are they those that just won't budge because they're on the side of the Lord no matter what? Who's your hero? Who should our hero be? Are they people that live like those first Thessalonian Christians who would only serve the Lord and absolutely nobody else? Who is our hero? I've talked about one of my heroes before, but since he's my hero, I'm going to tell you about him again. In the early 1930s, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was an accomplished theologian living in Germany. He was world-renowned. He'd been to America and studied at Union Seminary in New York, the best seminary that America had to offer, but even that wasn't good enough for Bonhoeffer because he was just leaps and bounds beyond everybody else. While he was in New York, though, he was impressed with Abyssinian Baptist Church in Harlem. It was the Baptist Church in Harlem in those days, and they preached on such things as equal rights in a day when there was no such thing as equal rights. He saw in their faith something of God with the oppressed, and it attracted him, and he took it back to his own country. He was a misfit in New York, a German guy in Harlem, but he was welcomed right in, and eventually he started teaching Sunday school class in the church. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, y'all, was a Sunday school teacher in a Baptist church in Harlem. If I had a time machine, I bet you some Sunday morning I'd be showing up there. Anyway, he finally went back to Germany right before the time that Hitler came into power. And one of the first things the National Socialists did, the Nazi movement did, was co-opt the German church. Hitler replaced all the bishops with ones that were supported of the Nazi party, and most of the people went right along with it because they were very persuasive. Persuasive enough for people to believe that God wanted all those Jews killed. Yet, there stood Bonhoeffer, who refused to play by the world's rules. So he went back to Germany, and he stood in his faith no matter what, just like Jason of Thessalonica did. Bonhoeffer started an underground church, and then he started an underground seminary where he would teach other preachers about the real God. He did all he could to stand opposed to what was going on around him. He spoke out, and he demanded the same things that Jesus demanded. Love of neighbor, support of the least of these, no hate for the other, and all that stuff. He called for an end to the eradication of the Jews, and he did it in the name of God. He reclaimed God from the Nazis and demanded that Jesus' way was different than that. Well, as Jason of Thessalonica might have predicted, the authorities eventually showed up to Bonhoeffer's door, and he was sent first to prison and then to Flossenbürg concentration camp, where he continued, by the way, preaching and living the gospel. Every day Bonhoeffer prayed, and every day he served his fellow prisoners in such a way that even the camp doctors were taken by a man who, in this situation, was still living out his faith. Bonhoeffer was finally killed 2 weeks before American service forces liberated the camp. 2 weeks. His letters made it out of the prison, smuggled by his captors. That's how impressed they were by him. We still have some of them today, but he never made it out of the camp. He was killed at the age of 39, so young and so brave. Men like that and women like that should be our heroes. All those people who live the way of Christ, no matter what, they should be the ones that we put up on the pedestals. Who have we known who just followed Jesus no matter where Jesus went? Are those not the ones who are worthy of being our heroes? Jason of Thessalonica and so many others live a life that demands that there is nothing else that matters other than the kingdom of God. Nothing. What matters if it is not of God? What way could matter if it is not the way of King Jesus? And some can follow that in such astounding ways. To stand up against Rome, to stand up against Hitler, who is that brave? Or the opposite of that coin. Maybe it's brave to be the one who never says anything bad about anybody ever. You know those people, right? The ones who are kind no matter what because Jesus was that way. Man, that takes bravery too. Now, in 2020, we're a long time after our hero in the scripture today. We live in a different day. We live in a different place. We live in a different time. We live in a different culture. We live in different circumstances. We know that. Thank God we know that. But one thing will never change. There will always be a pressure by the world to celebrate its heroes and its standards and its beliefs. Every culture of every time and of every place will demand that we follow its ways and its gods and its kings and its rules instead. Every single time is that time. That time hadn't changed. Power is always going to try to grab more power. Greed is always greedy. Lusts of every variety always want more. The world will always try to find lines to draw between us, even when Paul taught us that there is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female. And here Jesus stood, not scared to follow, or Jason stood, not scared to follow Jesus' way no matter what. And to me, church, that is a hero. A hero is someone who convinces us to never bow to any other god, no matter how attractive they are, and the other gods are always attractive. Jason of Thessalonica was brave, and he and the others show what it means to follow Jesus Christ, period. That's it. I'm going Jesus' way. I got faith it'll work because the king said so. Church, our job as people of faith is to never bow to any other gods in any other ways or any other means or any other power. It is to be like Jason of Thessalonica, where we simply follow Jesus Christ. Follow Jesus. That's it. Just Jesus. And now I know that there ain't nothing else worth following. There's only one way of being in this life, and it's Jesus' way no matter what. That's what Jason of Thessalonica did, and it's what we should be striving to do every day just a little bit more than we did the day before. So, church, I got good news. We know there's a Jesus worth following. There's a king, and we know we are citizens of that kingdom. His name is Jesus, and he's the one that we're with no matter what because he's worth it. We know it because he loved us so much he went to the cross for us. We know it because they tried to kill him for 3 days, but we also know it because the grave was empty Easter morning. Who else are you going to follow other than Jesus who can do that? There is a Jesus, and he's calling for us to follow him and nobody else today. So go up on out of here now and go be like Jason of Thessalonica. Go follow Jesus no matter what. Let's go and follow Jesus all the way, no matter where it goes. It's the least that we can do. So Godspeed, Jason of Thessalonica. We look forward to meeting you on the other side because you're a hero. And praise be to God for that man's actions 2,000 years ago. It's a reminder that we need to follow Jesus no matter what. And if you believe that is true, I ask you all to say amen. And now I'm going to go find out where the musicians are, because they need to follow Jesus out here. So, there they are. We have one more song today. I ask that if you have prayer concerns or needs or know someone's in need, make sure you get a hold of us. Send us a message. Send us an email. Whatever you have to do, we want to make sure that we're helping one another as much as we can right now. Let's sing one more song.
It's finally not raining. Thought I'd point that out. And y'all are still here. We are trying to make ourselves a little more wind resistant. We will see how this works. I am weak, but how strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long. Close to thee, oh, just a close walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. This world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. So just a close walk with thee. Is my plea, daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Oh, when my feeble life is o'er, time for me shall be no more. Gently, safely, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Oh, just a close walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close.
I want to share with you just real quickly some prayer requests that came in. If we don't get them all from those who send them online or even in the cars here, we apologize. We're doing the best we can do on that. But I wanted to mention these prayer requests: Melanie Soyson, David Morton, Judy Judkins, Bonnie Sneed, Kim and Rain, Risa Johnson, Jackie Bullard, Louisa, I think it's Potter. And then this one, the church probably has already heard, but I want to make sure everybody has heard it. Beth and Troy Sparks, who I understand were in this church several years ago. Their son, Owen Golding, died, who I believe was in the youth group. We want to be sure to be in prayer for Beth and Troy in the time of their loss. Let's go to God again in prayer, please. Lord, we lift up these names to you, and we lift up us to you. And we ask you, Lord, to strengthen us as we leave this place, as we close out our web browsers, as we turn off our phones, and as we leave the parking lot. We ask that you embolden us to go out and find heroes and be heroes to others who follow Jesus absolutely no matter what. We ask these things, Lord, because we know we desperately need you, and we want you to do it, want to turn to you in every moment that we can. And God's people said, amen. Hear the benediction. Go in love. Go in joy. Go in peace. Go in grace. And go in mercy. And go out and follow Jesus. And Lord, release us from this place, but never from you. Amen. Amen.